Podcasts.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Creek and Sunbury Beer Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Start stocking up for the Super Bowl weekend now. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the play-by-play call of the day, Matt, he's got a note. Evidently, there is a balloon hovering over the suit's home. All right.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells FOUNDA!
I don't know what that means. Here's our play-by-play call of the day.
Zubac's giving you his all. Sticks it. He's got 52. They've missed seven in a row. Leonard with the ball in his hands. Holiday is on him. Turnaround, Kawhi. No!
They're going to have to foul now. Get Giannis right now.
Oh, Giannis throws it away. Kawhi Leonard gets Wesley Matthews on him now. 7-6-5. Here's Leonard. He takes a peek. Leonard still got it. He fires. Air ball. Yes. With it. Ball's knocked out of his hands. Did the clock expire is the question. Replay review to finish the game. And what a comeback by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Great comeback by the Bucks. Although, I mean, geez, that Kawhi thing had to bother you. I mean, it's... Didn't he hit a big shot against you in Game 7 once?
Yeah, let's not go there.
I'm just asking for a friend. I mean, I don't think you should insult my friend.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
All right. I felt like I've had you bottled up now for an hour. Boiling with emotion. So what is your rant of the day?
I feel like I had it earlier with the whole Marshawn Lynch thing. I got everything out then.
I felt like you seemed like, for a guy that wasn't there, you had your feelings hurt. Which I find kind of bizarre.
It's just the whole thing was stupid, that's all.
I'll tell you, can I tell you a story about that?
Yes.
Okay. Every time I did the pregame show with Joe, now I think everybody knows in the contracts of coaches, for example, doing the coaches show, in this case on a Thursday, doing the pregame show, doing the postgame interview, things like that, that is part of their contract. Okay? Right? Okay. Just so people know, it's part of the supplemental compensation that coaches get. That's why when you see these big numbers, the university is not paying that entire number. Right? So Nick Saban does his coaches show with Eli on a Thursday. He'll do the pregame with Eli, does the postgame show, and he is then, quote, compensated by, I think Learfield has Alabama's rights. I think they do. I'm 90% sure of that. And Learfield, part of what they kick in goes to the coach. That's part of their compensation. So, but you always want to be polite as to what you're doing. And one day I went into Joe, and I did the pregame show with him, and I said, "Hey, thanks a lot for doing that. I appreciate it." And I was thanking him, "Hey, look, for the time, for making it happen, the whole thing." And he goes, Joe kids around. Joe would kid around. He says, "Well, Steve," I get paid for that. And I looked over at him. I said, "Geez, what a coincidence." And he looks over at me. He says, "That's why I like you."
There it is.
No, but in other words, two friends like just kidding around with each other about, hey, I did it for the money. Yeah, so did I. I'll give it to you, I'll give it back. Okay, look, I was at the point in my life where, right, and Joe, where we could do that, okay? All right. But that was one of those things. What a coincidence. He starts laughing. He says, that's why I like you. Do we have the king?
We got the king.
Oh, good.
Oh. Okay, hang on. Hi, guys. Okay, I got to put you on hold for a second. Good to hear from you.
Terrific.
What's going on over there?
Hang on just a second. I got to take care of something here. Okay.
Maybe the balloon's over right his neck you. Of the woods now.
No, well, no. I mean, sure. They would find nothing.
Okay, you're making fun of me. That's good. Just hang on just a second. I'll be right with you.
All right.
Well, now you can get to your other rant because you do not show up to work with just one
no.
rant.
It's more me just laughing at Kyrie Irving. Now all of a sudden he wants to trade again. Can we just get rid of him, period, from the NBA and be done with it? That'd be great.
You know what's interesting is that you've heard a lot of people with the Nets because Kevin Durant's been out. How terrific he's been and great he's been. And we've heard in other places he's been a problem. Look, I know people that are in the Celtics organization. He was a gigantic problem and was a bad influence on the younger players.
Absolutely.
Right? And they'll tell you that. I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm talking about because, look, it's not as if, quote, I don't know people, all right? And so I know it was an issue. Right, and it took a little while for the management of the Celtics to come around to it, compared to the people that are around it every single day, and the people are. And this is not from Micah, by the way. Please, I don't want anybody. There, I will tell you in no uncertain terms, Micah Shrewsbury. The topic of Kyrie Irving has never come up between the two of us, so it's not him that told me that. Don't make that assumption, okay? But there are other people that I know in that organization, and. They were like, he was a problem, and it took a while for Danny Ainge, who at that point was the Celtics GM, I mean, now it's Brad Stevens, but to come around like, oh, man, he is a problem, and that's why he made the trade.
I think he goes down as the biggest nuisance in NBA history.
You know what? It's interesting. Like, I've heard Mike Krzyzewski talk about him, and he played for Mike 1 year at Duke, and he played for Mike on the 2016 Olympic team in Rio. Ooh. And Mike has nothing but good things to say about Kyrie Irving.
I don't understand that. I don't know how that even happens.
Well, again, that's his perspective, his point of view as somebody who actually knows him. I've never been in the same building with him.
What did Kyrie do wrong now?
Oh, he asked the Nets for a trade because they apparently were talking about an extension for some ungodly reason, but the Nets decided no, and now he wants a trade.
He's always a problem. Everywhere, I mean,
It just seems
everywhere
that
he goes, he just, I don't know. Yeah,
I just call him the biggest nuisance in NBA history.
Yeah, the most talented nuisance, the talent's there, but he's his own worst enemy.
I would love to see him just go. And, of course, where does he want to go? Another big problem with the NBA, the L.A. Lakers. You know what? I hope he does so the Lakers continue to blow up in the fashion that they are right now, and that'd just be great.
But if I'm the Nets, who in the Lakers do I want?
Exactly. I think he's going to get traded to Phoenix because they can get something in return that's decent enough, and both teams can still vie for the playoffs.
Because with the Lakers, the only two players you want are either LeBron or Anthony Davis. I don't want Russell Westbrook.
Exactly right.
All right? So, I mean, it's all about, and don't tell me, we're going to give you four number two draft picks. Well, that's fine. That's like sending, in the NBA, that's the equivalent of sending a bag of basketballs.
Exactly. Yeah. He's either going to go to the Lakers. The
draft picks never translate to anything.
Yeah,
in the NBA,
not like, for example, a Tom Brady out there. Somebody who's drafted second or third round and turns out to be LeBron James, you know. It doesn't happen.
No, it really does not happen. I mean, Giannis, for example, is a guy that was a little further down the chain, but has turned out to be awesome. But most of the guys are, and not only that, it's an older players league where the teams that win, I'd say 8 times out of 10, almost 9 times out of 10, have older, established players. It's not the group of young players together that rises and wins. That's not really what happens in the NBA.
Why do you think?
It's tougher than people realize. I think it takes maturity to play in the league, especially over 82 games. They had to get some veterans around him. They didn't draft Pippen. It was a draft and trade on that day, but they ended up with Pippen out of the draft. They had to sign Kukoc. They eventually signed Rodman. And Jordan was obviously exceptional. LeBron did not win really anything until he got with Wade and Bosh.
Yep.
And then go from there.
That part of the team, and that's not really working now. You know that.
No.
You know, let's create our own team. That's not really kind of falling to the wayside.
It's interesting. Golden State drafted Curry, drafted Thompson, drafted Green in the second round. Those have been the three mainstays the entire time with Golden State, where they've added in other players, and they've won four championships.
They brought in Durant, too.
For two of the four. So of the four, those three mainstays were together for all four, including the first and the last. Durant was there for the middle, too.
I like Kevin. A lot of people criticize Durant. He could play on my team.
Durant is a great player. I think when he went to Golden State, he turned a lot of people off. But what rule did he break? He's entitled to go wherever he wants. I mean, that's the part.
How is it different than what LeBron did?
Right. I mean, he's a free agent. LeBron was in. Let's see. LeBron was free to go anywhere he wanted.
But he made a production out of it when he first went to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
With the decision.
Right. The TV show. No.
TV show and the whole thing, I know. But like Durant didn't do anything. He's a free agent. It's one of the rules. That's why I always love when people criticized the Steelers over franchising Le'Veon Bell. Excuse me, over here in the back, exactly what rule did they break?
None.
That's exactly right. I mean, and the Players Association negotiated that. So
what
his problems with
him?
It, he just kind of went to the Jets.
Around. He went to the Jets.
Went to the Jets, went to Kansas City, and just kind of floated out of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While being because a pain in the rear
so
end like Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. I used to love the way he'd run to the line and stop. And then find his hole and then take off. And that kind of went away. Well, he didn't get hurt or anything, did he?
No. Nope.
Wow. Talented player who never reached his potential.
Well, Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, going to join us in the final half hour. We'll take a break. We'll get picks in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I feel like we've calmed both of you down. I feel good.
To some extent, sure.
I just feel like, I mean, part of my job in this show is to, you know, just be a good listener.
It's always very cathartic.
All right, what do we got? What do we got?
All right, well, it's great to hear this music again, by the way. We're not that far away from March Madness, but our first set of picks for the year. By the way, we all went King went 0-2, and Steve went 2-0. I went 1-1 with the Championship Sunday picks last week. But I'm still in the lead there. So now let's start things off with our first set of hoops picks for the year. Number 8, Kansas, at number 13, Iowa State. Steve.
I'm going to go with Kansas. I just feel they've got a lot of... I think they're starting to round into form. They're one of the better teams in the country.
King, who you got?
Iowa State.
You know what? I'm rolling with the Cyclones, too. I need to see just a little bit more from Kansas before I fully jump back on. But they definitely have that potential to be the best in the league. So I'm taking Iowa State here as well.
I think they made a big step by beating Kansas State with relative ease the other day.
Yeah. I just need to see like one more. If they can win this game, then I'll fully be back on the Kansas bandwagon. Next,
they are excited.
Yeah. I picked them as my champ a couple years ago. I've always liked the program.
There you go.
Anyway, SEC action. Number 25, Auburn, at number 2, Tennessee. King.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I like the Vols in this one, too. Steve,
Tennessee,
you got?
Tennessee was not very good against Florida. Not very good at all. Something tells me Rick Barnes has had a couple of interesting days with his team. And playing at home, they will win. And then not only that, they'll win with relative ease.
All right, clean sweep of the Vols. Back to some Big 12 action. Number 15, TCU at Oklahoma State. Steve.
I'll take TCU.
I'm going with the Horned Frogs as well. I like them too this year. King?
I love Oklahoma State.
Oh.
They're my team.
All right, there you go. All right, so this is a little curveball that the King threw at us. North Dakota at South Dakota. King, who you got?
South Dakota because of the governor.
That's the whole reason why you picked this game?
Yep.
Oh, boy. I'm actually going with South Dakota, too, because I actually looked this up. South Dakota's won the last 3 or 4 regular season meetings, most of them with ease, except they won in January by 2. So I'm going to stick with South Dakota. Steve.
North Dakota's lost 4 in a row. North Dakota can score but can't play defense. South Dakota's at home. They've got, what, 4 more wins? South Dakota.
There we go.
All
How right.
How do you even know all that stuff? That just amazes me. That is so cool.
Nothing gets past him. You should know that by now.
Yeah. You never throw a curveball by him, that's for sure.
All right, next one. We got Butler at number 14, Marquette. King.
Butler.
Okay.
Seen them play. They're pretty good.
I'm going with Marquette. Steve?
Yeah, I like. You know, I do like Butler because obviously they play Penn State this year, so I've got a pretty good handle on Thad's team. But you know what? Shaka Smart's done a terrific job. I'm going to go with Marquette in this game, especially at home at first serve.
Now to the ACC.
You know what I see in college basketball? I know we got to get going. Anybody can win any night.
Oh, no kidding.
You know?
You're exactly right about
yes.
that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it comes down to foul shots. It comes down to, you know, a bad pass at the wrong time. It's so, like, fine-tuned.
I've seen it in the Patriot League a few times this year, both with the men and the women. So, yeah, that's a definite. Now to the ACC, we got Miami at Clemson, 23-20. Steve.
Yeah, obviously I've seen Clemson in person, too. And especially playing at Little John. I think at Little John they're 5 points better. Clemson will beat Miami.
Yeah, I liked what Clemson brought to the table when they played the Nittany Lions earlier this year. I'll take Clemson at home. King?
I love Miami in this game. I don't know anything about them.
No, Jim Larrañaga is a terrific coach and a great guy.
Miami always has a good team. They're always going to be in the game. I'll go with Miami.
All right, next one in the Big Ten now. Of course, Steve, you just saw them up close and personal the other night. Number 1, Purdue at number 21, Indiana. I think Purdue wins this game outright with ease. Steve?
You know what? Indiana had been playing not good, but great basketball. I mean, really. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis has been playing at the next level. And then they went to Maryland, and, I mean, Matt, they laid an egg.
Yes, they did.
I think the problem is that Trace Jackson Davis in the matchup with Zach Edey is not a good one for Indiana because Jackson Davis can't step out and hit a jump shot against him. Purdue will win on the road.
Yeah, I think Indiana's kind of a fraudulent team in the Big Ten, but that's just me. King.
Well, Penn State beat them with, I mean, Penn State beat Indiana with actually with relative ease.
Yes, they did. Exactly right. King.
I got Purdue, but I spelled it wrong, didn't I?
Yeah, you spelled it like like Purdue, the chicken.
Like a chicken, yeah.
Cool. And, which is why Lisa always picks Purdue at least to go in her Final Four every year because she likes the chicken and she thinks it's a fun name. So I guarantee
reason.
That will be in her
I
Final
like
Four
governor.
This year. And finally, Texas at Kansas State. I got Texas, King.
K-State.
Steve.
K-State.
All right, there we go. Lock them in for the first time this year. We'll return to these in 2 weeks. We go back to Super Bowl picks. Next week, we'll do our score, MVP, who wins. We'll do some prop bets like we usually do, all that fun stuff.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine cooler, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A couple quick notes here. One is, it is National Wear Red Day for cardiovascular health awareness, especially for women. We know that the number one killer for men has been, obviously, over the years, heart attacks. A lot of people don't realize that's also the number one killer for women. And a heart attack for a woman sometimes can be a little bit different. Takotsubo is something that is the affliction with women and heart disease. And Takotsubo is something that, you know, you have to make sure that you're checked for as often as possible. So it's a Wear Red Day for awareness when it comes to heart disease. And it's not just for men. It is for women as well. So please be aware. We want to keep all of you around as long as we can. Penn State football put this out. It's, of course, this being February, this is Black History Month. And on James Franklin, whose birthday it was yesterday, and because I'm going to add one in here for them. Only African-American head coach to win a Big Ten title and is the first one in FBS to reach 100 career wins. And I know that for him personally, he's very proud of that. One of 8 current FBS head coaches with 66-plus winning percentage and 12 years coaching experience. First all-time in total wins and winning percentage by an FBS African-American head coach, minimum of 80 wins. One of 11 active coaches with 100 wins as a Power 5 coach and has guided Penn State to 4 New Year's Six Bowls. It's more than that. He's guided them to 4 New Year's Six Bowls, all right? And he's won 3 of them. He's won the Fiesta, Cotton, and Rose Bowls. Pretty impressive. So we wanted to throw that in before we got going with other things, but we'd all agree the first one is so important. And again, And that's why people, you may see whether somebody's wearing a red tie today or a red shirt or a red dress or a red blouse, whatever. That's the reason why. Okay. All right. Let's turn our attention to the Super Bowl. Yesterday after the show, I had the opportunity to talk to the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Brett Veach. And we welcome everyone back and joined by the outstanding general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mount Carmel's own, Brett Veach. Brett, congratulations on what the Chiefs have accomplished so far. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. It's always good to catch back up with you guys.
All right, so let's start with this. I'm going to go in a completely different direction than maybe some people would go, but whenever Jack Ham and I would broadcast a Penn State-Rutgers game, the first guy we picked out as the key to the game is somehow do you slow down Isaiah Pacheco. What did you see in him? You're in round seven. What did you see in him that you thought had the potential to make a contribution for you?
Well, I mean, just rewinding back to last year's draft, I think one of the things as we were progressing through draft meetings is that that we noticed was there was a large volume of running backs that were kind of great at later in the draft. I mean, I think typically, you know, I'm just spitballing here, round six and seven, we might have a handful of guys, say 8 to 10 that we like, but for some reason, the number was extremely large last year. There might have been 25, 30 guys, and I kind of joke with my staff members that we're going to have to spend a little extra time doing all these running backs because there's so many. Surely one's going to pop out and make an impact this year. And I think when you go back and you watch Isaiah's tape, I mean, the one thing you notice, obviously he has tremendous size and build, extremely powerful runner. The one thing that we didn't know and maybe why he fell in the draft a little bit is that they didn't really throw the ball much. And you know, this is such a passing league and yeah. You know, route running from the running back position and hands and ball skills and what have you is so important. Not a lot of production in the pass game, and you know, we were kind of wondering if it would be a good scheme fit for, you know, the amount of times we throw the football. And as we continue to go through the tape and watch it and see him at the All-Star games and at the combine and as pro days, did a really good job with that. And so I think the combination of his size is great speed for his size, and then ultimately his hands, and he's done an outstanding job in both pass pro and pass receiving.
In fact, I mean, that's something that you're right. Rutgers, the passing game has not been proficient for them, and he could not get involved. Unlike maybe a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, Jack all the time leading up to the draft before you guys picked him. Jack, that's all Jack could talk about. It's that linebacker in him that's coming out, Brett. Okay, when he sees a guy like that. All right, this has been an interesting time for Kansas City because of the way everything worked. The Tyreek Hill deal, and then you had to make some moves to make sure you had enough wide receivers that could not only play but play proficiently for what Patrick wants to do. What was the process of that, of trying to get a number of guys in there that could somehow make up for the loss of a great talent like that?
Well, sure. I mean, always want to pursue every avenue you can, and you know, after we made that trade, we went out and signed Valdez Scantling from Green Bay and brought in a veteran special teams receiver and Watson from Tampa. And then we just continued to, you know, keep our eyes open in the draft and had an opportunity to draft Sky Moore, a guy we really liked. But it really never stops there. And I think any time that you have any transactional periods that you can continue to add depth and talent to your roster, you just keep your eyes open. And then as you know, later in the season, we had a chance to make a trade and bring Kadarius Toney here, and he was a guy that, you know, we were really high on coming out a couple years ago. So I think the one thing that, you know, we exercised was a lot of patience, and you know, on one end, when you make a trade like that, there's probably that instant impulse to just do, you know, as much as you can, as fast as you can, but I think the longer you're in this game, you realize if you're just patient, sometimes you can start adding you know, over time, and the additions that you make will be sound both from a production standpoint on the field and from a cap standpoint. So I think our staff did a great job of just, listen, we're always going to be aggressive and we're always going to keep our eyes open, but let's just be patient. You know, let's grab an MVS before the draft. Let's maybe do some stuff in the draft, and we'll have time. And, you know, the Super Bowl isn't until February. let's not try to, you know, make some foolish mistakes just out of, you know, being hasty in our decision making. So I think we just practice good patience, and we waited to values to come to us, and you know, we were able to just, again, continue to add, you know, obviously Juju Smith-Schuster, too, is a guy that we came around the gate signing, too. So we were able to add, you know, two veteran receivers, a depth-level veteran receiver prior to the draft. We added a young guy in the draft and another young guy throughout the course of the season. So I think it was just the, you know, again, the patience of our staff to just be smart. And, you know, now we have a really good combination of size and speed and athleticism, and I think it's working really well with Pat.
What's interesting is that I believe, and you can correct me on this, of the 22 players you had available on defense for the AFC Championship game in Cincinnati, 8 were rookies. How did that come about for you, and how pleased are you with the payoff you've had from those younger guys?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was a key element of the trade. You know, never want to trade a dynamic talent like Tyreek Hill, but when we talked about just this window here, we're entering with Pat and you know, having the potential ability to add receiving talent, you know, you got to make sure you have good depth on both sides of the football. So I think we thought in the off season that we would have opportunities to maybe not replace Tyreek player for player, but do that with a combination of different talents and different skill sets. But again, the value was getting the cap space and the draft pick to really start to add and develop and grow our defense, and that was one thing. Obviously, we had so much young talent and skill on the offensive side that you know, we had some obviously good players on defense, but we just wanted to really balance this roster out and dedicate it a lot of that you know, the trade stuff that we got, we dedicated a lot of those assets, you know, to the defense. And I mean, look, I'd be lying if I sat here and said that, you know, all these young guys that we drafted that was part of this long-term plan would be doing what they did now. But I think it's tremendous credit to the coaching staff for getting young talent that we identified, but really getting the most out of them and getting them up to speed. And I mean, from rookie mini camps to OTAs to training camp and, you know, all the time spent with them and these kids being able to come in here, adjust to a higher level of competition and also, you know, understand their assignments that are a lot more complex than the college game and continue to grow and develop and then see it really, you know, hit where it needs to be at the end of the season is just, it's really remarkable. And again, it's a credit to the players that we brought in, a credit to my staff for helping get these guys here and again, to the coaching staff for spending the amount of time with them and getting them up to speed.
You talked about growth. You've been doing this job now for a while. Everybody grows in their job. Where do you feel you're better at it? You're not going to be perfect, but where do you feel you're better at the job now than maybe even a couple, 3 years ago?
Well, I think it's just the example I just mentioned with the Tyreek Hill trade. I think it's just the patience. I think we're all naturally wired to go 100 miles an hour and be aggressive, and I certainly think, you know, I'm probably labeled one of the more aggressive GMs, but I think within that context, I think over the years I've you know, developed a better balance. We did that a couple of years ago when there was really no offensive linemen. We had lost to Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, and we had two tackles that were out with injuries. One retired, and the other one had a season-ending injury. We had some interior offensive linemen that we lost, and we were able to kind of be patient and slowly build that line back with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Sinjone Tooney, and then we waited toward the end of the free agency period, and right before the draft we traded for Orlando Brown. So I think it's the evolution of kind of combining you know, the patience with the aggressiveness, and like I said, you fast forward to this offseason, we traded for Tyreek, but we were able to be patient, yes, address the receiver position and bring in guys like Juju and MVS, but also you know, wait for the draft and then wait for an opportunity to add someone like Kadarius Toney later in the season.
Yeah, I think the guy that retired, I spend a lot of time with at football practice, Stefan Wisniewski. He's here.
Yeah.
He's here at Penn State now, working here.
Yeah, great guy.
One final. He is. He's the best, and he speaks very highly of you, by the way. One final question for you. What has the Hunt family and their support meant, and what's it been, the relationship with Andy?
Oh, I mean, they've been you know, the Hunt family has been obviously just amazing to work with. And I think the cool thing about working here, and especially coming from a place like Mount Carmel, growing up in Pennsylvania, football is so important. But, it, you know, in our state, there's such a rich tradition and history with football. And when you have a chance to, and you're blessed with an opportunity to work in the NFL, I mean, you're working with a family that is equally embedded in that kind of rich football tradition, and you know, the stuff that, you know, Lamar Hunt, our founder, you know, the history is so deep with the NFL and the, you know, the AFC. It's just incredible. And he's not one of these owners that does it because, you know, he's bored and has nothing to do. I mean, football is his life, and it's been part of him. And so I think having the ability to work with, you know, an owner who truly is intertwined with the history of the game has been special. And then the same thing goes with Coach. I mean, our relationship is truly unique and special. And I've been with him since day one, and he's taught me everything I know. So being able to provide him, you know, with the knowledge and ability that I have is really just kind of a mirror image of him, because he's taught me everything I know. But it's been a lot of fun. I couldn't ask for two better people to work with. It's a great city, great community, and it's going to be an exciting game. I mean, two really, really good teams going at it, so it should be a lot of fun.
Wish you nothing but the best of luck in this. And, Brett, obviously you've made everybody in this area very proud with what you've done. Congratulations on what you've accomplished to this point.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate that, and hope you guys are well, and hope you guys enjoy the big game in a few weeks.
Brett, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Really appreciate the time. I know you slid us in there, and that was great.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. No problem, you guys. And hopefully, you know, we do this again next year, because that means we'll be back in the game again.
that would be great. We look forward to that.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. You all take care, right?
Yep. Thanks, Brett.
You bet.
Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll wrap it up, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's interesting, Miami's going to play Clemson tonight, and that brings up Nigel Pack, who had that NIL deal with Miami, and John Ruiz, that is alleged to be $400,000 per year for 2 years plus a car. Who's averaging more points per game among transfers? Andrew Funk of Penn State or Nigel Pack? I think you all know that answer. It's Andrew Funk. I wonder if they're sitting there and they're wondering if they got what they paid for. And it's, you know, hey, he accepted the deal, but more and more people are going to look at this stuff. Pack, by the way, is doing okay. He's 42% from the field. He's 12 points a game. Okay. Which is fine. But at $400,000 a year, don't you expect a little bit more? I can tell you right now, Andrew Funk didn't get $400,000, and he's playing better than Pack is. It's so important on these stories to revisit. You know, we get into the 24-hour news or sports cycle, and then, boom, we just move on to the next thing. Boom, move on to the next thing. Yeah. And we won't do that here. I won't do it. I remember what his deal was. Okay, so here we are, two-thirds of the way through the season. How is he doing? Oh, gee. Not as well as they thought. This is not an 18-point-a-game score. Oh. Right? Who ended up with a more productive player? Oh, Penn State did. Right? And Andrew did it the right way. He didn't just bag a university and move on. Well, it's, you know, he wanted to go to graduate school, and Penn State has the graduate school he wants to go to. I believe, please, if somebody correct me on this, I believe Bucknell does not have graduate school. And if I'm wrong about that, please let me know. But I believe that's the case. But This kid looked at Kansas State and went, eh, I'm gone. $400,000 a year plus a car, I'm leaving. All right, for your $400,000 a year plus a car, I'm expecting a little bit more than 12 points a game at 42% from the field. And they got Clemson tonight, by the way. That'll be the game at Little John. Stay warm. Got to get through tomorrow. Once we get through tomorrow, then it's not that bad. Not that bad at all. We did talk today about Texas-Oklahoma. They can't reach a deal to get out of the Big 12 earlier. The SEC is not going to help. The grant of rights is more restrictive than people realize it is. I think some people think it's easy. I think some people think you can vote your way out of it. There's a lot, you know, and guess what? It's difficult. That's why. And the other element, too, is this. I'm waiting on the Pac-10 agreement to come to fruition. Probably be in the $29 to $31 million range. But anybody out there goes, oh, you got to have Oklahoma, you know, Oregon and Washington. Not right now, you do. They do not, repeat, do not bring enough to the table to expand in that direction. You've got to be able to manage what you have. And right now, the Big Ten has a big job in front of it, integrating USC and UCLA into the conference. Accomplish that first. Then think about the future. Have a great weekend, everybody. Should be a lot of fun. I'm off to Nebraska tomorrow. Game Sunday at 4:30 on at 4 o'clock. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motor Studio. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.